Now, let's cut to the chase here and get an understanding of the world that Jesus came into and Paul came into regarding this situation. Now, I'm going to read this to you. It's going up on the screen. Maybe a little difficult to follow on the screen. Maybe a little difficult to read. I'm going to read it. This is the world the Lord Jesus and Paul came into. This is the world, the milieu of what the Apostle Paul is talking about. It is still the same today in Israel. It is also the same in Christendom. The rabbis did not, this is words of Foster and Marston. The rabbis did not claim to be sinless, but rather denied that such a sinless life was necessary for a man to obtain acquittal by God, that is, not guilty. They believed that though a man might do evil deeds, these could be outweighed by his good ones, and was the overall balance which decided God's verdict. It was a postulate, that is, a basic belief, of rabbinic thought that a man, by his obedience to the Torah, the law, could obtain merit. Every good deed was thought to have a certain quantity of merit attached to its performance, while similarly, every evil deed incurred a corresponding portion of demerit, plus and minus. Okay? The final judgment represented a weighing up of the merits and demerits acquired by a man during the course of his lifetime. And this is often represented as a weighing in the scales. If the good deeds outweighed the bad, then the man was adjudged righteous, considered righteous, and entered into blessedness. Whereas, if the bad deeds predominated, Gehenna, or hell, was his portion. That's the world the Lord Jesus Christ came into, and that's the world the Apostle Paul came into and served. Can you see that? It's meritorious works. Works that add up and give you credit. And then we even have this here. Even faith was a virtue, gaining merit. There's no denial of faith, but it's a package. And it's all put on the scales. And if the good outweighs the bad, you're allowed into his presence. Of course, you have to wait for the final day of judgment for that. Christendom is not far off in that, you know. Praise God for the evangelical Protestant message that is the opposite to that. The opposite to that. What is the nature? This is why we have in point B in the bottom of the page the reasons for Israel's error. The Christ, the Messiah, is everything, even for righteousness. And this was proclaimed in the Old Testament. Here we are, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Let's have a look at that. Do you all know that wonderful title of the Lord, Yahweh Tsadi? The Lord our righteousness, Jehovah our righteousness? You know that one, Jeremiah 23, 5. Those of you who have the King James Version, and bless you, look at this, Jeremiah 23:5. There's something special here about the King James Version. If you don't have the King James Version, you'll just have to believe us. Jeremiah 23:6, what we're going to say here. Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I'll raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. That's our little phrase in Romans 11. All Israel will be saved. Same truth. Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called. Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now, those of you who have the King James Version, there's something different here, isn't there, regarding the printing. Tell me, please, in verse 6, capital letters. Oh, capital letters. Very good. Those of you who have been brought up in the King James Version, and bless you, there are capital letters elsewhere in the Bible, but not everywhere. Can you think of another place where there's capital? That is correct. And one in Revelation, Book of the Revelation. A mystery. Mystery. Babylon. Mother of harlots. Capital letters. Why? Well, look. Put up your hand, please. I'm kindly asking you cooperation. Put up your hand if anyone has read the 9 small print pages in the beginning of the King James Version Bible that is titled A Word to the Reader. 9 pages. Hello, we've got one student. Oh, here we are. We've got some folks there that have read the A Word to the Reader. Have you read the King James Version? Yes. Have you read that word from the translator? No, you should. Solve a lot of problems. One of the reasons for the King James Version was to overthrow the Antichrist, the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope. And these relevant verses were written in capital letters. Oh, incidentally, in the original, it's all written in capital letters. They have done this. The Lord our righteousness. What were they saying? There is no righteousness of ourselves. Even obedience to God is not counted as a ground, as a sinner with acceptance with God. All of our righteousness, 110% of it, is the Lord Himself. And Abraham had it imputed and counted to him. A little more on that. This is very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. Remember that. Remember that. That's the world in which Paul went, and that's the world that the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Romans 10. This is the stumbling. This is the law works formula that they had. And still have. And still have. I mentioned Roman Catholicism. Do you know that according to canon law of Roman Catholicism, that it is a mortal sin to say, I am saved. A mortal sin. That is, you have the death penalty upon you. You need forgiveness. You need to be brought back to a state of grace. Because no one can know until they arrive on that this day. Okay? You don't know. Of course, the argument goes, well, tomorrow you may stop believing, but that's another subject. I mustn't touch that one. Okay? Now, here we have the nature of faith righteousness in verses 5 through to 11. And what is the nature of this faith righteousness? Well, Paul said in verses 5 to 11, you have to do all that, you're going to do this. What you want to do is you want to travel up to heaven to get Christ. You want to go down into the abyss to get Christ. And no, he said, you don't need to do any of this. From ages past, even under Moses, it says, the word is very near you. It's all very near. It's just there to be received. Here we have here. What does it say, verse 8? Well, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So it's not a long way away. It's not on the treadmill of obedience. It's receiving it by faith. And you don't need to go down the law works road. Do remember that which I've shown you. And over the page we have the nature of faith righteousness, which we have just been explaining. Of confession, in verse 9, confession of the mouth, and believing in your heart the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, gaining that that comes in the gospel, the gift of righteousness, the gift of justification. And with the mouth concession is made, resulting into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Now, that's a quotation from the Old Testament, Isaiah 49:23.